But in Ephesians chapter 5, look with me in verse 24. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. You can be seated. Let's pray. Lord, I pray you'd help now. Touch us for a little while. I pray you'd give us unction from the Holy One. Let's hear from heaven how much we truly need you today. We really do, God. And pray that you'd move by. I appreciate the good singing that's been sung, the choir singing, the special singing. It's preaching time now, and I need you to enlighten our eyes and our heart. And Lord, just move among us today. Help those that are sitting here, somebody that's lost, save them. Somebody that needs help, I pray they might find it in you. We love you and we thank you now. Help us now while we preach for this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. In this passage of Scripture that the Apostle Paul has wrote to the church at Ephesus, as he was closing out this chapter, he is dealing with two different subjects, really, as he's writing. One, he is dealing in that with a relationship between a husband and a wife and her husband. But he is dealing with the relationship between Jesus and the church, and the church and the Lord Jesus Christ. And according to verse 32, he is dealing primarily and that with the relationship between Christ and the church. If you see that, he said, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. And so he lays out and that the relationship that the church is to have with him and that he has and that with us. Can I say quickly this morning by way of introduction that the church is the bride of Christ. I don't believe there's any argument there. I mean, you get into the bride in that by salvation. You come to know we can baptize you all we want to, but it'll never wash away your sins. But according to Revelations 1:5, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. And thank God and that for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, for I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. The book of Revelation 19 said, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come and his wife has made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Our righteousness is in the Lord Jesus Christ. But when we get to glory, we'll be clothed in fine and white linen because we've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Ain't that good to know today? Amen. Hey, I'm thankful for that today, to be saved and washed in the blood of the Lamb. We're not only the bride of Christ, but the church is the body of Christ. We understand that. Now, you're the body of Christ and members in particular. I remember what Adam said in Genesis chapter 2 after God had made Eve and brought Eve to Adam, and he said this. He said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. When you get married, you become one body, and that in thought and intent of the heart. Say, how do you figure that? Let me show you. So I want you to take your Bible and look at this, because I want you to underline it. Go to Genesis 5. Go to Genesis 5. Now, I'm going to get to preaching here in a minute. But I want you to see this. Genesis 5, as he talks about Adam. Genesis chapter 5, look in verse 1. I'll let you get there. I still hear pages turning. I like to hear pages turning. Amen. I'll stand here all day and let pages turn. As long as you get there here in just a minute. Amen. Genesis chapter 5, look in verse 1. This is the book of generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God, made he him, male and female. Boy, I could park there for a while and preach for a little bit. Amen. In the day that we've got male and female, God made them the way he wanted to make them. Amen. And we ain't got no business messing around with things. Amen. I don't care what the world says. A man, by the way, he only made two, male and female. And he did make two, male and female. And created he them and blessed them and called, what's your Bible say right there? Their name Adam in the day when they were created. Didn't say he called his name Adam. He said he created male and female and called their name Adam. That word there indicates plurality more than one. When he created Adam, it's like this. My wife over here, when the preacher presented us as getting married, as we was married that day, we become Mr. and Mrs. Mark Latham. When I presented these two right here, I remember doing it very well. Had them turn around. I presented them to that crowd that day and presented them as Mr. and Mrs. Zach Summerall. Done the same thing for Miss Bethany and Hunter over here. Presented them that way. Why? You become one with each other. And so that is the relationship that Christ has with his body today. And so we find out, you go back to the book of Ephesians in the text verse, and as we are the body of Christ, Paul talks about that. Christ in my flesh, for he's talking about the afflictions, and he talks about Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. And so we know that the church is the body of Christ. I don't think that you'll argue with me about that today. But I want you to see how much Christ loved the church. He said, husbands, love your wives, even if Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Don't you think Christ loved the church a whole lot? He ordained the church. Now, I understand he ordained the family. He ordained a lot of things through Scripture. But I'm telling you today, he ordained and that the church. He ordained the church as a whole. I believe that he ordained and that local assemblies. We see local assemblies all through the New Testament. We see that. I mean, that's who Paul wrote to, wasn't it? To the church at Rome and to the church at Corinth and at Ephesus and Galatia and Colossus and Philippi. And he wrote, John did, the Revelator wrote to the seven churches which were in Asia over there. And so we understand that there are to be local assemblies that are to come together and meet as the body of Christ and learn about him and worship him. You believe that, don't you? You wouldn't be here today if you didn't believe that. You remember in the book of Acts, I believe it was chapter 12, that Peter's in prison. And the early church is gathered together where? In John Mark's mama's house, Mary, and they're down there praying that God would deliver Peter. They were having church in somebody's house. If you look in the book of Romans, I believe it is, chapter 16, when the Apostle Paul is closing out and he's talking about Aquila and Priscilla, he said, salute them, but also the church which is in their house. And so they had a local assembly, if you'd let me say that. I believe a local assembly is important today. And there's a lot of people think they can serve God outside the church and outside the local assembly, but you cannot do that and serve him right. I think you need to be a member of a local assembly. I think you need to be at a place where you can say, hey, here's where we're coming to church. This is where we're going to worship God. We feel the Spirit of God. We know the book is preached and taught here. And this is where we want to raise our family. And this is what we want to be part of. Amen? If you can't say that, then you ought to go find one that you can. Amen? I don't want to run nobody off. I want to keep you. I mean, we just preach the book around here and live by the book. And there's always room for improvement, ain't there? Amen. When you get to the place that you don't believe that there's room for improvement in your home, in your life, or even in this church, I know there's room for improvement around here. I'll be the first ones to tell you that. I think there's all kinds of room for improvement. I think every one of us could draw closer to God. Amen. I think there's room in our life, in my life. Just let me tell you, there's room in your preacher's life that I need to work on and draw closer to God about. I'll just go ahead and tell you that. I mean, I need some work done on me and in me. But two things I want to look at quickly about the church. Notice he said right here that he loved the church. You know, if Jesus loved the church, don't you think you were to love the church? Things that Jesus loves, I think you ought to love. And things that Jesus hates, I think you ought to hate. You know, was it David talked about there at one point that God had a perfect hatred about some things? I think if God hates some things, I think we ought to hate them too. But right here he talks about that he loved the church and gave himself for it. Let me say number one, that Christ is always faithful to the church. You know, if he loved the church and is faithful to the church, I think I ought to be faithful to the church. I think you ought to be faithful to the church. 2 Thessalonians said this in 3 and verse 3. He said, but the Lord is faithful. Ain't you glad for the faithfulness of God? Ain't you glad that he's always faithful to be your friend? He's always faithful to show up. He's always faithful to listen to your prayers, friend. And when we serve him, has he not always been faithful to remember our work of and our labor of love? Has he not always remembered that? Does God not know every time that we're serving him? By the way, God knows every time we're serving him from the heart and when we're serving him to be seen of other people and when we're not serving him. You know, he told them seven churches in the book of Revelation, chapters 2 and 3, he said, I know thy works. And he knows what we're doing. But he's faithful to us. He's been faithful to me over the years. He really has. He said, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promise. You know why I can hold on to what I believe? You know why I can hold on to my salvation? Why I can hold on to serving God and all these things that come out of this book right here? It's because he is faithful. He's faithful. He's faithful to this church. If we'll come in, listen, and folk praise him this morning. You know, if you begin to praise the Lord and maybe get your hand up in the air or say glory or say hallelujah or testify a little bit like Brother Jeff did this morning, God's just liable to come by. But if we come in, we sit like a knot on log and it's bless me if you can, preacher. And listen, I've been there before. I mean, I've come in here and man, wondering what I was even doing here. And out of duty. I was here because of duty, not because of desire. I've been in here, I mean, over the years, I ought to be here. And as I studied this message, I thought about what drives me. What drives me to come to church? Why do I come to church? Is it just because it's Sunday? It's just time to go to church. That's a good reason to go. It is Sunday. It's that day to go to church. It's the Lord's day. You need to be in church. Amen. But why am I here? Did I have a desire to come? Did I want to meet with God's people? Did I come to meet with God? Do I love God's people? Do I just want to be here today? You realize that he is faithful to us. You know, that word faithful means firm adherence to truth and to the duties of religion. It means a true fidelity or constant. And this is the Lord. Constant, he's all this. But constant in performance of duties. True. God's always constant. He's constant no matter what. You know, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same. He don't change. But if he's faithful to us and he's faithful to this church, do you realize how faithful he's been to us? I think because of the work that we're trying to do, I think that's why God's been faithful to supply and make it go. I believe that. If we weren't trying to get the gospel out, listen, there's more areas and rooms of improvement for us to get the gospel out than we could ever see. But we are striving to do that. And if we weren't, I'm not sure that God would make the way available. There's a lot of churches that are, they're drying up. I preached on that not too long ago. They're drying up on the vine. They're just a meeting house, and that's all they are. They're not trying to do anything. But he's faithful to us in the good times and in the bad times and in the easy times and in the hard times. And there was a lot of us preachers worried when COVID struck almost 2 years ago. Even though it's almost been 2 years ago, hard to believe, ain't it? Time just keeps scooting right on by, don't it? You know what irritates me more than anything, Brother Randy, is that we gauge everything anymore by COVID. It's either before COVID or after COVID. I hate that. I do. I mean, that's just the way we think a lot of times. You know, is this happened before COVID or after COVID? But you know, when all that hit, and I really wondered if how God was going to supply and keep things going and all these things. And the whole time that I worried about that, it's just like the Lord was dwelling and speaking in my heart. Don't worry about that. I've got this under control. And he did. He had every bit of it under control. We didn't miss nothing. We didn't miss a radio payment. We didn't miss anything. We were gaining on the way. I had a fellow pull up in my driveway while he was there at my house and cut me to this church, cut this church, but handed it to me, cut us a $1,000 check, and pulled it out of his checkbook and folded it up and handed it to me. He said, "We've been watching more of you online than we've been watching of our own church." I mean, God knows how to do things, don't he? And he always been faithful. And he always been faithful. I mean, he said, God ain't broke. We think sometimes God's broke, but God ain't broke. I mean, we come to church one time, and I know I'm getting way ahead of myself, but I remember coming to church one time, and there was an envelope taped to the door, and we pulled the envelope off the door, opened it up, I pulled out a check, and there was a check for $6,000 wrote to the church. Lady up here on top of the hill, she don't come here much, but she wanted to pay her tithes for the year. She wrote us a check, $6,000, taped it to the door. God knows what he's doing, man. God knows how to do it. Well, in that case, preacher, I'll just quit giving and let God say, "Oh no, we'll get there in just a second." Some of y'all are already thinking about that. I know how that works, man. Boy, I wish Hunter was here. I'd have fun. Amen. But let me ask you something. If he's been faithful to us, and when I say us, I mean this church, don't you reckon you ought to be faithful to the church? If he loves the church, don't you reckon you ought to love the church? But don't you reckon you ought to be faithful to the church? I mean, to be here. And I'm going to deal with some of this stuff as I get a little further on in this message, but to take part in it and to pray for it. And I mean, if you're going to be a member here, you ought to take part in it. You should be faithful to be here, whatever we're doing. Listen, I understand that sometimes we get hindered. I understand those things. I got a preacher friend of mine years ago. He had church in the month of September. He had church every night through the month of September one night for a whole month. Nobody jumped up and said, "That's what we ought to be doing, preacher." I was waiting on Brother Marvin over here to jump up and say that. Amen. He said, "I wasn't going to jump up. Somebody will shoot you for that, brother." Amen. But you know what he told his church? Here's what he said. He said, "We're going to have church every night in September. But I really, if I don't see you on Sunday and Wednesday, then I'm going to be upset. But if you can make it any other night, you need to come." That's pretty good. I thought that's pretty good. And he told me here a while back, he said, now this was years ago. I'm talking 20 years ago that he'd done this, maybe even longer than that. But he said, "I still believe God wanted me to have church every night in September one night." He said, "That's some good meetings that we had."
They said, I just told them, as long as you're on Sundays and Wednesdays, you ain't going to hear nothing out of me. But you know what? If we're having a meeting, you ought to at least try to be here. You know, if husbands just showed up every now and again, wouldn't be much of a marriage, would it? And if wives just showed up every now and again, wouldn't be much of a marriage, would it? Ain't you glad God just don't show up every now and again? He's faithful. Don't you reckon we're to be faithful to? I'm preaching about the local assembly this morning. Talking about Unity Baptist Church is what I'm talking about. You know, we're faithful to it, and to be faithful to it, but then, number two, we need to support it. You know, I can be faithful to my wife. I not go cheat on her. I not find another woman. I not run around. And I can be faithful to be at the house. But if I'm not supporting that, you know what that word support means? It means to bear or to sustain or to uphold. It means to endure without being overcome. You know, to endure something, it's a little tough sometimes, ain't it? You have endured some things. Some of you are thinking, man, I'm enduring this preaching right now. But to support means to maintain provisions and the necessity and the necessary means of living. If you're going to support something, first of all, you're going to have to be faithful to it, but then you're going to have to be active to do it. You can't support something without faithfulness. You can't. You know, people say, well, I support this and I do this. Well, do you send any money to it? You know, I'll just use St. Jude's. When Alex and Jurenee was little, we used to send money to St. Jude's. We did. No too many kids that went to St. Jude's, you know. After they got grown, we kind of quit doing that. We don't support them anymore. You say, well, you can believe what you want to about St. Jude's. We sent them some money. You may not like that. That's fine. You don't have to. You didn't send your money. I sent mine. And I didn't send my tithe money either. I sent what I work for. Amen. That's my money to decide what to do with. I don't know how we got there, but it's good. But you know what? I can't say that I support St. Jude. Yeah, in my mind, I like what they're doing. They're trying to heal them kids and help them kids that's got cancer. They're trying to help them. But we don't support it. We don't send no more money anymore. We're not faithful. If we do, we sure ain't faithful on it, you know. But he's always been faithful, not only and that to just, he's not always just been faithful to be faithful. He's always faithful. But he's been faithful to support us. You know, when you support something, when you maintain the provisions and the necessary means of living, or you bear up and sustain and that to hold up, you know. We support this church. If you love the church, then you should support this church. You should support it in your attendance. Hebrews 10 said, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. You know, when I get up here on Sunday morning, I try to exhort you to come to Sunday school. I do. I try to exhort you. I try to encourage you. That's what that word exhortation means. I mean, you're already here for preaching. I don't have to exhort you to come for preaching. Just need to exhort you to come for Sunday school. Hey, we have a good time in Sunday school. It's good. I enjoy it. As I tell Brother Jeff, if you see me sit down on that pew and my eyes shut and I start yawning, don't think nothing of it. It ain't that he's boring. It's just sometimes if I sit down and get warm and get comfortable, I'm going to sleep. It just don't matter how it is. Hey, we was over in Newport, North Carolina here sometime back, probably back in 2018. We went to church over there. I believe it was Grace Baptist. We went to church over there and was listening to the preacher. He's doing a wonderful job. I remember Kelly said after church was over, she had to wake me up in the middle of service. And she said, you were amening him. And she said, you slowed down on amening him and you got quieter and quieter. And then the next thing you know, she said, I didn't hear you amening nothing. She said, I looked over at you and you was asleep. She jabbed me real good, you know. If you stay up late, and that's why you can't get to church on time, or you fall asleep on Sunday morning, shame on you. But I understand. Listen, Brother Marvin, you know what I've learned? Some of the most peaceful places, or the most peaceful place that some people have in their life, is on Sunday morning and Sunday night when they come to church. And that's the most peace that they've had all week long. Now look, I don't want you falling asleep on me. I don't. Listen to me. I mean this from the depths of my heart. I don't want you to, but if this is the most peace you're getting and you're not off, preacher ain't going to get mad at you. Okay? I'm just being honest. I don't want you to nod off. I don't, but if you're staying up late on Saturday night and you can't get here and you're dragging in and you're holding one eye open, that's your fault. But I've learned something, man. This ought to be a place of peace and a place of rest. If you're serving God and you're living for God, listen, if you ain't right with God, you ought to be under conviction. If you're lost, you ought to be under conviction when you come in here. You should be. I want you to be welcome, but I don't want you to feel good when you're in here if you ain't living right. Amen. I think God ought to bother you. Anyway, boy, we got all fired, didn't we? But listen, you ought to support it with being here, with your attendance. I think church ought to be important to you to come. Acts 20, it said, upon the first day of the week when the disciples come together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on tomorrow, and continued his speech until midnight. Well, think if I just preached till midnight. Man, y'all might fall out the window too. Y'all understand that story. Go look it up, Acts chapter 20. But notice they got together on the first day of the week. 1 Corinthians 16, when he's talking about giving to missions, he says, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in stores God has prospered in. He says, you need to meet. He says, you're supposed to be meeting. We're on the first. That's why we meet on the first day of the week. You ought to support with your attendance. You ought to be here. You ought to be faithful to be here. It ought to be a joy to come to church. You say, that's the only time we get any rest, preacher. You ought to be here. You ought to just be here. Because I'm telling you, you're going to get some help if you'll come. If you'll come looking for some help, you'll generally find some help. And can I just be honest about something this morning? When you're here, it just helps me. Do you know that? It just helps me, you being here. You being here in your place just helps me. One, I know if you're here, there ain't nothing wrong. Ain't nothing major wrong. Let me say that. If you ain't here, I begin to wonder about some things. Has something happened? Something going on? Don't want to give them any, you know, I don't want to think bad, but I mean, you're just supporting your attendance. It's good. The church needs you here, but you need to be here. As much as you need God to show up in your life. How many times have you needed something? How many times have you needed something and when you came you found it at church? I've done it too many times. Way too many times. Sometimes I didn't even know that I was looking for it till it found me. But I'd have never got it had not been where I needed to be. We support it in our giving. Not only do we come in our attendance, but we support with our giving, whether it's in tithes or in missions. You know, if you go over and look in Genesis 14, this is prior to the law. A lot of people, they want to run over to the law and say, see, tithing was a law time, you know. No, tithing was before the law, during the law, and after the law. Genesis 14, Abraham tithed in that to King Melchizedek. As a matter of fact, if you'll go over in that to Hebrews chapter 7, Genesis 14 said he tithed, and in Hebrews chapter 7 said that when Abraham gave to King Melchizedek, he gave a tenth. So your Bible defines what a tithe is. It is a tenth. I think it's a pretty good deal. I do. I think it's a good deal. God allowed me to make everything that I made. It's because of him that I made it and what I have. And all he says is just give a tenth. I think it's a pretty good deal. We support with our tithes and our offerings and that to the mission program. You know, again, we go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. He said, now concerning the collection for the saints, I've given order to the churches of Galatia. Even so do ye upon the first day of the week. Let every one of you lay by himself in store. As God prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. He's talking about giving to other people right there. Giving in the mission work. Even if we need special offerings. I think you ought to at least be willing to pray and say, Lord, how do I give right here? What do I need to give? I have never outgave the Lord. I've never outgave him. I don't want to be stingy with my money. especially with the Lord's plans. How about when we come to church, do we support the actual service? Now listen, he supports us, don't the Lord love us and support us? We've got quiet here. How much in the actual service do we support? Maybe coming to Sunday school. Maybe in the choir singing. Some of you ain't singing up here no more. Why? You ain't got to answer that out loud. I just want you to answer it. Support the preaching. Help me out sometimes. If you ain't going to say amen or something, just nod, you know. You know, be grinning. Do something. I mean to help me out. But support it. You know, to uphold the service. You know, pray for it. And that happens before. It happens while we're here, but that happens before we get here. Say, Lord, would you help our church this coming Sunday? Would you help our preacher to have the right message for the hour? Let him study and give him what he needs. And say, Lord, help him Sunday school teachers. And I pray for our Sunday school teachers. I do. You should too. I ask the Lord sometimes, Lord, what do we need to be doing here? Do we support each other? I want you to take your Bible and go to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm going to close here shortly. 1 Corinthians 12. Now, this is going to get just a little long right here as far as reading because I want to read the whole thing. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, I'm talking about how much do you love the church? If you love the church, you'll be faithful to it. Because Jesus loves the church, and I think we ought to love it. He's faithful to the church. I think we ought to be faithful to the church. He supports the church. I think we ought to support the church. Look in verse 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and look in verse 12. For as the body is one, so we see the body is one, talking about the body of Christ, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, but so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have made all and have been made all to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were the hearing, where were the smelling? Now, let me park right here and say, you realize it takes everything in your body to make it up. And to make it up right. You need to be able to smell, you need to be able to hear, you need to be able to see, you need to be able to feel and touch and do all these things. And then I know that people can live without being able to do that, but your body ain't right when you're missing something. You know, if all we had was an eye but didn't have a nose and we couldn't smell, all we could do is see, or if we couldn't hear, you know, if we didn't have an ear, you know. But in verse 18, he said, but now what I'm trying to get you to see right there is you're needed in the body of Christ. Not only are you needed in the body of Christ, you're needed in this local assembly. But now hath God set forth the members, every one of them, in the body as it had pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? If we all done the same thing, I mean, who else would be doing the other stuff? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. You may not think you're much to the body of Christ, but you're far more than what you think you are. Just being here and praying goes a long way. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked,
that there should be no schism in the body. That's a division. But that the members should have the same care one for another. Now he's kind of changed gears here just a little bit. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you're the body of Christ and members in particular. Now I can tell you one thing. If your tooth hurts, the rest of your body is going to suffer with it. You ever smashed your thumb with a hammer? I'll guarantee you the rest of your body's going to suffer with that thing. I'm just being honest. I mean, you ever stubbed your toe? I broke my pinky toe one time. Kelly, I remember this years ago, we were living in that single wide trailer when we were still over on the old place. And she had got up early one Saturday morning, made pancakes. And I come stumbling out of the bed and wasn't paying a whole lot of attention, Zachary, and caught my little pinky toe on my left foot on the door jamb and wrapped that thing back around. That thing turned colors and swelled up and couldn't wear cowboy boots for 6 months. It hurt too much. It affected the rest of the body, you see. That thing hurt. And by the way, you hear about it when it starts hurting, don't you? This thing starts. Better be careful with this thing. Brother Jeff's going to teach a little bit on that in Sunday school next week. But do we support one another? You know, how much do we support? Do we pray one for another? You know, Paul said, brethren, pray for us. You remember that scripture? That's what I preach at Brother Marvin's ordination service. They had me charge the church. And I preach, brethren, pray for us. Do we pray one for another? I'm talking about support right now. Do we lift each other up in prayer? Do we come to each other's needs when there is a need? Preacher, I got too much going on. I'm going to tell you something about this world and this life. This life don't mean a whole lot. But I'm going to tell you that you church folk, your church family should. And if they're hurting and need help, you ought to be there. You ought to care for people and love on people. I need to do that. Not only because I'm the pastor, but because I'm part of this church. Sometimes it does cost you some things to care for people. It does. Sometimes it'll cost you some things that you want to go do. Sometimes it'll cost you to be in a hurry. You know, me pastoring full time, I can kind of, if I have to go to the funeral home, just let me use this as an example. If I have to go to the funeral home to see somebody, and if it's somebody from this church that their family has passed away, God forbid somebody here does, but we have to go. For me pastoring full time, it's not a big deal for me to start getting ready in the afternoon. But you know, for Miss Latham over here, she works till 5 o'clock. It's a little hard time sometimes for her to come flying in. She's sideways sometimes and then just has to jump out of the car and get ready and I wash up and go and we'll catch supper when we can. Sometimes it's just hard. And that's why we don't want to do it sometimes, is because it's just hard. Do you remember what the word support meant? To endure without being overcome. Sometimes that's just what you do. You just go do it because you love your church and the person in that church. And you're going to support them and show your support. Because you know something else, church? There's going to come a day that you're going to need the same support. I'm going to need it. You're going to need it. We need to support one another. The workers in this church, you need to hold them up to the Lord. Let's bow our heads this morning. I'm not going to have no singing, no playing.